Good evening. I would like to take this opportunity to thank Verity Baptist Church for a great influence to me and my family ever since we moved here. I've seen a lot of changes in my kids, my wife, and me, and I'm just grateful for this church. There's no other church like this. I would like to thank God and Pastor for allowing me to preach behind this pulpit. I'm not eloquent. I'm not a good speaker. I'm just willing to be used by God. And I would like to encourage men and especially young men here. You know, God can use you. Amen. Our text for tonight is in Exodus chapter 25. And our main verse is verse chapter 1 and 2. Exodus 25, verse 1 and 2. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering. Of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, he shall take my offering. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the time that I'm preaching your word. I pray, Lord, that you use me. And I pray, Lord, for the church that will be blessed tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The title of my sermon tonight is A Willing Heart. A Willing Heart. Please turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. We will be jumping from scripture to scriptures. You don't need to bookmark Exodus 25. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel chapter 16. We've learned from Pastor Jimenez a lot of things in his Leviticus series. And one thing I've learned is that God has certain ways in offerings. There are strict rules to follow. As a New Testament believer, we are no longer bound in the Levitical law with regards to the offerings, like peace offerings, burnt offerings, sin offerings, and so on. But we can learn to live our Christian life based on those laws. Many Christians today says that living a Christian life is hard and difficult. Keeping all the commandments is impossible, and that's true. Otherwise, we don't need Jesus if we can keep them all. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7 says, But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. If God looks at our heart, then we need to take care of our heart. Yes, physically, we need to keep it healthy, but most importantly is the spiritual sense of the heart. So what are the things we need to do with regards to our hearts so that God will be pleased with us? I'll repeat our text for tonight, Exodus 25, verse 2. Speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart. You shall take my offering. No matter how great or small our offerings of our money, our time, our skills to God, if our hearts is not in the right place, he will reject it. Amen. I have 2 points tonight and 3 sub-points for each. To have a healthy, fruitful Christian life, number one, we need our hearts to willingly give up the world. Please turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians chapter 2. While you're turning there, I will read 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. One thing we need to consider in assessing our hearts is to look back in our life when we were unsaved. We need to identify the things that we're still doing right now that are of the world. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says, And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Please skip to verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Skip to verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. The things that we used to do as an unsaved person are the lust of the flesh. The things that we want to have are the lust of the eyes. And living in these lifestyles is the pride of life. Each one of us has different things that we lust for. Everything that we used to do are the opposite of what God wants us to do. Please turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 1. 2 Chronicles chapter 1. 1 and 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 1. Many people, even Christians, have strong attachment with money, careers, possessions, entertainment, and all pleasures in this life. There is discontentment. Everyone wants more. Is having money sinful? How about having a good career? Is it sinful to have possessions? No. Actually, all these things comes from God. In 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 10, it says, give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before these people. Who can judge this thy people that is so great? And God said to Solomon, because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor life of thine enemies, neither yet hast asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made the king. Wisdom, knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there any after thee have the like. You see, God is the source of everything that is good and right. All that we have comes from God. Let me ask another question. Is being friendly a bad thing? No. Proverbs 18, verse 24 says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now, being friendly is a good thing. But if that friendship with someone comes in between you and your relationship with your spouse, then that is a bad thing. Now, please turn to James chapter 4, if you would. James chapter 4. Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James 4. Whatever it may be, a person, work, possessions, hobbies that keeps us away from the person that we ought to love and spend time with is a bad thing. Same thing with God. All these things in this world are keeping us apart from having close relationship with God. Why do we need our hearts to willingly give up the world? Number one, because attachment to the world is adultery and it makes us an enemy of God. James 4, chapter 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be friend of the world is the enemy of God. Is he referring to the unsaved or to the saved? To the saved. Why is God calling Christians adulterers, adulteresses, and an enemy? Because of our friendship, our attachment, our affection are in this world. Let's pause for a second because this is serious. Adultery and enemy of God. Example, if I have an enemy and my enemy is saying bad things about me, about my family, and if my son is being friendly with my enemy, I will consider my son my enemy. Why? Because his friendship, his loyalty is on my enemy, not on me. If pastor has an enemy and I will be friend with his enemy, do you think pastor will trust me again to preach here? He will consider me as an enemy.
Amen.
Please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Acts, Romans chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Majority of Christians are still having close relationship with Hollywood movies, television shows, sports, worldly music. These are adulterous acts in the eyes of God.
Amen.
Why? Because these things are not of God. Christians today are so much involved in the entertainment industry. Churches today are gearing towards the entertainment platform. They are involved in this industry for the love of money and not for sharing the gospel. None of the Christian entertainer or Christian athletes preach the gospel. Every time they're in front of the camera, they would rather promote the entertainment than promoting God the gospel. Hollywood is a source of all wickedness.
Amen.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. When I heard Pastor Anderson preach the sorcery of television, I had to call my cable company and cancel my subscription.
Amen.
I threw out all my CDs, my DVDs, my movies collections, because these are wicked.
Amen.
The television unit is not wicked or sinful. It becomes a wicked tool when we hook it up to the world. The television is a tool for evil mass communication. One tiny plug opens the gateway of all wickedness. Filthiness, everything that comes out of it are not of God.
Amen.
Adultery, fornication, drunkenness, sodomy, lust for riches, pride. Children's shows promotes dishonoring parents. Family shows promotes feminism. Comedy shows blasphemes God. Many will say, oh, there are Christian networks in television. Joel Austin's live service is good. It's a good thing in the television. They are wicked as Hollywood movies.
Amen.
For preaching another gospel. They preach that you need to repent of your sins and make him Lord. As far as the Bible says, he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. Who am I to make him Lord? You see, having friendship with the world has consequences in our lives. Many may think that they have the best and the top-of-the-line television, but think again, because the greatest enemy is inside our home, and all evil communications comes out of that thing, and we don't have control over it. Our children will absorb every evil communication. We may say, I only watch sports. Yes, but that sports comes with beer commercials and scantily clad cheerleaders.
Right.
Entertainment is full of lust of the flesh. Entertainment is full of lust of the eyes. And entertainment is full of pride of life. Entertainment is vanity. The laughter and enjoyment we get from this is vanity. Proverbs 14, verse 13 says, even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. Please turn to 2 Kings chapter 17. 2 Kings chapter 17. 1 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings chapter 17. Entertainment will never take away our sorrows, our problems, but rather will bring more, and it will affect the lives of our children. They'll grow up a drunk, a drug addict, a fornicator. 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 13. Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets and by all the seers, saying, turn ye from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes, according to all the law which I commanded your fathers and which I sent to you by my servants the prophets. Notwithstanding, they would not hear, but hardened their necks like to the neck of their fathers that did not believe in the Lord their God. And they rejected his statutes and his covenant that he made with their fathers and his testimonies which he testified against them. And they followed vanity and became vain and went after the heathen that were round about them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. The world through television will greatly influence your children. When I was a kid, one wicked show has hardened my heart and my mind for decades. How willing is your heart to dispose and to cut your affection towards the world of entertainment? Watching this show is an act of adultery against God. Are you willing to take the chance for your kids to be corrupt by the entertainment, by the wicked communication? Psalm 101 verse 3 says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that hurt aside, that turn aside, it shall not cleave to me. Just thinking about these worldly things, God considers us already enemies. Romans 8 verse 7 says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Now, why do we need our hearts to willingly give up the world? Number two, attachment to the world brings sorrow. Please turn to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. Let's take a look at a person who, instead of giving up the things of this world, this person rather desired and chased after them. Let's read the story of Naaman, Elisha, and Gehazi. Many of you are familiar with the story. Naaman, a great man, a Syrian captain with leprosy, went to Elisha in Israel for healing. After his healing, Naaman departed. In 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 20, but Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, that man of God, the man of God, said, behold, my master has spared Naaman the Syrian in not receiving at his hand that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. So Gehazi followed after Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, is all well? And he said, all is well. My master has sent me, saying, behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of garments. And Naaman said, be content, take two talents. And he urged him and bound two talents of silver in two bags and two changes of garments and lay them upon two of his servants, and they bare them before him. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house, and he let the men go, and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master, and Elisha said unto him, whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, thy servant went no whither. And he said unto him, went not my heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money, to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. For he went out for his presence a leper as white as snow. You see the contrast of these two men. Elisha, the man of God, just ignored the precious silver and expensive garments. On the other hand, Gehazi desired these things and ended up having the leprosy of Naaman down to his family generations after generations. Naaman received a generational curse. Chasing after the world and the things of this world brings sorrow and misery, not just to us, but also to our family. Right. Are we willing to take this chance? And bringing sorrow and hurting ourselves and our family. Chasing after the things of this world destroys lives, marriages, and families. The happiness that we think we get from the world is a lie. The devil has deceived many people that the things of this world brings happiness, excitement, but in the end, destruction. Gehazi ended up a leper for two talents of silver and some expensive clothes. Black Friday is coming up. Many people are already preparing for this event. This is a wicked event that promotes greed. Elderly people, small children are physically hurt in this event. And people doesn't care if they hurt someone. They are blinded and deceived that they need all these things. One of the top-selling items during this event is televisions. Chasing after the things of this world and trying to keep up with everyone will bring serious debt situation. Having a serious debt is depressing. If you're in this situation, I'm not down on you. I've been in this situation. I've desired the newest electronic devices, bought expensive garments, racked up my credit cards for my enjoyment. Vacation here, there. Thanks to Pastor Jimenez's sermon a while back about finances. That message got me started thinking about my debts. I just realized we were living beyond our means. Paying it off is the hardest part. Sacrifices, belt tightenings has to be done. Please turn to Matthew chapter 19, the first book of the New Testament. Matthew chapter 19. Let's read another story who has difficulty of giving up the world and ended up sorrowful and not getting saved. Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, "Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" And he said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." He saith unto him, "Which?" Jesus said, "Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." The young man saith unto him, "All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet?" Jesus said unto him, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Possessions, even great possessions, doesn't bring happiness. Would you exchange your good health for $1 million? Many millionaires would like to exchange their possessions for good health. Great possessions doesn't bring happiness. I've seen siblings fought against each other, family against family, for their inheritance. In the Philippines, political rivals are killing each other for the position, for the love of money and power. Everything that we see in this world will pass away. Everything that we're desiring to have or desiring to keep will fade away. They will leave us or we'll leave them. Money, possession, careers, entertainment, beauty, strength, knowledge, power, Facebook friends, your precious dogs, prized collections, whatever skills you have, it will vanish away. God can take away everything that we have. A major sickness, unemployment, or an accident can change a life instantly. Please turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28, the fifth book of the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 28. All these things are vanity, and if we keep our lives attached to this world, or to the things of this world, our spirit will be in vexation and in bondage. A spirit that is kept in bondage by the world cannot fully serve God willingly with a joyful heart. Serving God feels like an obligation. Deuteronomy 28, verse 47 says, "Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things, therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness, and in want of all things, and he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee." It's not the persecution that makes the Christian life hard. It is the world that keeps the spirit in bondage. It is the world that brings heaviness in our hearts. Each one of us has something that's keeping us attached to this world, that's keeping our spirit in bondage and in sorrow. Serving God and the world at the same time will just tear us apart.
Amen.
It's like we're in the middle of a tug war.
Amen.
There's no real joy in this position. You can see a Christian that's serving God and the world by the heaviness in their heart. They can't fully serve or fellowship. They are easily offended and they easily leave the church because they haven't burned the bridges to the world.
Amen.
They never really gave up the world to begin with.
Right.
Why do we need our hearts to willingly give up the world? Number three, attachment to the world makes us a murmurer or a complainer. Please turn to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. A carnal, worldly, or covetous mind complains on everything. They don't have satisfaction or contentment. They complain about their work, their house, their spouse. They complain about their pastors, the ministries. They complain even on minor things. Matthew chapter 20, verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. So the householder hired laborers and continued hiring laborers throughout the day. On the third hour, which is 9 in the morning, 6 and 9th hour, which is 12 and 3 in the afternoon, 11th hour, 5 in the afternoon. Verse 8. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house. You see, they already have a work, and yet they complain of their work. They were paid, and yet they complain about the payment. I remember when I was working in the Philippines, we worked for 3 months without a pay. The company is in debt. They couldn't afford to pay us. But we keep on working and working and working just to receive that, the wage that we deserve. But after that, we left, find another job. So a complainer, even they have a job, they murmured on everything. They already have a job, a house, food to eat, and yet they complain. They're not content. When we complain about the things that we have and don't have, we are murmuring unto God. Numbers 14, verse 27 says, you don't have to go turn there. How long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Every time we complain to God. A complainer is a sign of a person that is attached to the things of this world. A person that's not satisfied with what they have complains all the time. There's no contentment in the life attached to the world. It will bring sorrow to our life, and it will make us an enemy of God. The first point is we need our hearts to willingly give up the world, because attachment to the world is adultery, and it makes us an enemy of God. Because attachment to the world brings sorrow. Because attachment to the world makes us a murmurer and a complainer. The second point is, we need our hearts to willingly serve and obey God. Please turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Why do we need our hearts to willingly serve and obey God? Because a willing heart to obey and to serve God brings joy. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 9. Then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. I've seen some documentary video about animal migration, and I saw the hardship the animals endure for lack of food and water. But when they reach the place of sustenance and safety, it is obvious how relieved they are from their agony and burden. Some became playful with great joy. Having a willing heart to give up the world and willingly serve God produced a joyful heart. John 7, verse 38 says, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." A river with endless flows of water provides sustenance to its surroundings. Green grass, fruitful trees, it brings satisfaction to all living creatures. On the other hand, a dry river brings despair and grief. The world is like a mirage. We think it's water, but it's not. We think it brings happiness, but sorrow. The choice is ours. Having a willing heart to seek and to serve God brings great joy. Why do we need our hearts to willingly serve and obey God? A willing heart to serve and obey God brings contentment. Please turn to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. There's gratefulness in the heart of a content person. The cares of the world does not choke him. A content person desires to please God than his own self. Acts chapter 4, verse 32. "And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted, the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the county of country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." In this story, every man gave up the houses and land they possessed and served God with a willing heart. In verse 34, it says, "Neither was there any among them lack." They were all content, even when they gave up everything. When we have a willing heart to serve God, He will provide everything that we need. He will provide work, a home, food, all the things that we need. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Right. Why do we need our hearts to willingly serve and obey God? A willing heart to serve and obey God produces a strong faith. Please turn to Romans chapter 4. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. We all know the story of Abraham. With his willingness heart to serve God produced a strong faith. Offering a son for God is a proof of a strong faith. Many members of this church move from distant places. It is their willingness of heart to serve God that produces a strong faith in moving. Romans 4, verse 16. "Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. It is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believe in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, "So shall thy seed be." And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Please turn to John chapter 6. Matthew, Mark, John chapter 6. A willing heart to serve God will have that strong faith to continue in serving God. There's no turning back. No turning back, as the hymn says. A willing heart will burn all the bridges to the world. John 6, chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 63. "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. You see, if you think of leaving this church, where will you go? We need to burn our bridges to old churches. There's no way back. We'll just keep on going and going, serving God. The willing heart to serve God will keep on going, just like a runaway freight train. There's no stopping it. The Apostle Paul has a willing heart to serve God all the way. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Serving God with a willing heart brings joy. It gives contentment and produces a strong faith. None of us have reached this point yet that we could say, "I've finished my course." We're still on the process, we're still on this way in the Christian life. But if we reach this point, it is a fulfillment in our Christian walk. We know why we need a willing heart to give up the world and to serve God. Now, how or where should we start? First, renew our mind to serve the Lord, not the world. Romans 12:2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We need to change the way we think. Our mind should take control over our hearts. We can change and direct our desires towards God. Making the Lord and the things of the Lord the priority of our life will change the way we think. Number two, give thanks to the Lord always for the things that we have in this world. Psalm 35, verse 18, "I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people." A grateful heart heals depression and discontentment. Having a grateful heart brings joy. Psalm 35, verse 9, "And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord." Number three, praise the Lord always, for he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We have a famous quote in the Philippines, and it says, "Ang hindi marunong lumingon sa pinanggalingan ay hindi makakarating sa paroroonan." It says, "He who does not know how to look back where he came from will never get to his destination." Our affection with the world will blind us with pride. But by looking back where we came from gives us a humble and a grateful heart. Sometimes we take our salvation for granted. We need to realize that we were all bound to hell. But because of God's love, He took our place and now we're all heaven bound.
Amen.
Our salvation is a good reminder why we need our hearts to willingly serve and obey God. Psalm 118 verse 21 says, I will praise thee for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. Let us be reminded to serve God first, and He will provide everything. And put God first above all things, especially above the world. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for allowing me to preach tonight. I'm very grateful, O Lord, for all the things that you have given us. I'm very grateful, Lord, for this church family. It really encouraged, we were all encouraged by this church, my children, my wife, and me, Lord. I pray that you bless this church more. I pray, Lord, that you will bless this church with more men stepping up to serve you. And let this church be a church that will send a lot of preachers, a lot of pastors, Lord. I pray for the blessing of Pastor and his family. And I pray, Lord, that many more people will come to this church to know more about you and to learn more about your word. Because this is the church that preaches your word, Lord, the truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.